to come into this place where we have made it sanctified to the purpose of worshiping Him and acknowledging Him. This is our sanctuary where saints come together to fellowship with one another and encourage one another, but most of all to acknowledge that God is God and that He is worthy of all of our praise, honor, and adoration. For it is in Him that we live, move, and have our very being. And each Lord's Day that I'm privileged to be here among the saints, I am always encouraged to see you and to know that you are still very, very committed to the cause of Christ and to His great work. God has truly blessed this church in ways that we really have no idea. But what we do see, we are so thankful to Him, acknowledging Him. Very appreciative to our song leader, Brother Woods, to all of the men who have led us in our worship today, for dedicating themselves and giving their very best, that our worship will be decent and in order. Those of you who are visiting with us know that you're our honored guests. We appreciate your presence. And truly, truly, we hope that you have appreciated being here and enjoyed being here, and that you will choose to come again and worship with us. Those of you who are traveling and you're on your way back home, having been here for the holidays, we wish you Godspeed and that God's grace will go along with you. We also pray for our church family who is traveling, and we want to ask God for their safe arrival. I do want to speak to you later today in reference to last Lord's Day at Southwestern Christian College, but I will not take this time, but at the end of our worship service, I want to share with you, give you an update concerning what we are doing at Southwestern Christian College. May I just generally say to you that thank you so much for your support, and God has truly, truly been in and is in the blessing business. I want to go to our theme, making the grade, elevating our walk and our talk. Last time I was with you, I was in the book of Revelation, sharing with you concerning the Patmos experience. But today I want to go to an Old Testament passage, which is found in Numbers 13, and I want to read in your hearing verses 26 through 33. Numbers 13, verses 26 through 33. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, are fortified, and very great are strong. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, with some of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I want to speak from the subject, crisis at Kadesh. Crisis at Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea, on the border of Canaan, the people of God foolishly forfeited their opportunity to enter the promised land and claim their inheritance. The tragic failure has made the name Kadesh a synonym for lost opportunity and defeat. Israel's downfall at Kadesh is a reminder to us today that it's a dangerous thing to trifle with the will of Almighty God. You may end up spending the rest of your life wandering around just waiting to die if you don't seize God's opportunities. Canaan is not a picture of heaven, as most hymns say, but Canaan represents the destiny of God, a predetermined destiny for his people. It is a picture of God's inheritance for saints even today. It's an inheritance that requires work, requires faith, and requires obedience. Probably the best passage of scripture to help us to get a visual of what Canaan is really like is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to enter into our Canaan of our great inheritance, but it's going to require work, diligence, faith, in order for us to be able to overcome and possess the ultimate purpose that God has for his people. When I look at this passage, I want to highlight two attitudes that I want us to be challenged by today. First of all, I want to look at the attitude of the 10 spies. Their report was one of gloom. It was a destructive report, pessimistic, very discouraging. They could only see problems instead of possibilities. They saw giants instead of God. They saw defeat instead of victory. The inspired writer calls their report an evil report. Their attitude could certainly be summed up in one word, negative. When you think in terms of Caleb and Joshua, In contrast to the 10 spies, their report was optimistic. Their report was one of hope, one that was filled with expectation and anticipation. They saw possibilities, not problems. They saw God, not giants. They saw victory, not defeat. God said of Caleb that Caleb had a different spirit. His spirit was different from the spirit of the 10 spies. All of them went into the land of Canaan. All of them experienced north, south, east, west. 40 days they went throughout the land of Canaan. They all saw the same thing. But it's strange how those 12 individuals, 10 of them came back with a negative report, and only two had a positive report. When you think in terms of today, the world, the church, we still have these two groups of people. Some can see the good and potential in people, opportunities in our resources, in a situation, they'll come away and say, we are able. While there are others who are witnessing the same situation will only see the bad in people, the flaws, and they will come away and say, we are not able. When you look at this lesson, I want to dig just a little deeper and analyze the traits of the 10 negative spies. I want to call theirs the majority report. And the reason I'm calling it the majority report is because it was 10 of them, and then only two of the others, which will be the minority report. When you talk about the majority, this is the way the world will see things. This is the norm. Most of us, we ought to ask ourselves, I wonder which group would I have been in if I had been part of the 12? I'd like to say that I would have been a part of the two. But I am not sure that I can really say that, because you don't really know what your response will be. I believe that the minority report, that optimism that Joshua and Caleb had, was something that has to be learned, has to be experienced before you can get to the point that you stop seeing giants and see God. Seeing possibilities and not problems. Well, let's look and see just a little deeper. What were some of the traits of the 10 spies? First of all, I would say to you that number one, doubt. When you look at their report, it was a report of doubt. They said, we are not able. Doubt causes people to question their resources. Whenever you're doubting, you're questioning your resources, as well as your God, who is leading you. May I say to you that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 40 years later, Moses is looking back on this situation. And here is his report to those who will go over into Canaan. But he's reporting on those who failed, those who wandered for 40 years and died in the wilderness. Here's what he said about them. He said, the Lord our God spake unto us at Horeb, saying, I'm in Deuteronomy 1, verse number 6, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites, go unto all the places now unto in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. God said 40 years ago, God told you to go into the land and possess the north, possess the south, possess the east, possess the west. He said, I wanted you to go and possess the whole land, is what he's saying. And then he says, and the Bible says, who went in the way before you? God said, I went in before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. God said, you didn't get to that point by yourself. He said, I made sure that I charted out the path. I gave you light by night, and I gave you a cloud by day. God said, I led you there. And then he says, and the Lord heard the voice of, and then he says, and I have set before you the land in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in verse number 8, to give unto them and to their seed after them. The Lord your God, in verse number 30, says, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. God said, don't you see my record? Don't you see what I did in Egypt? Don't you see what I've done in the wilderness? He said, I brought you to this place, and instead of you being anxious to go over and to possess the land, you have come away with doubt. How can you doubt God who has proven himself? Not only is their report one of doubt, but self-depreciation. We are in our own sight, they said, as grasshoppers. We are in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They saw themselves as teeny, tiny, little grasshoppers. But let me say this to you, that those 10 spies need to remember the word of Almighty God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're going to have to learn to think better of yourself. You will need to learn to think of yourself as God thinks of you. God has a better impression of you than you have of yourself. God thought enough of you to bring you out of Egypt. God thought enough of you to preserve you in the wilderness. God thought enough of you to go out and spy the land and give you the land. Why do you see yourself as teeny tiny grasshoppers? You know, be careful about how you see yourself. The greatest tragedy in life is not to see ourselves as God sees us. You know, 90% of people are not satisfied with themselves. We're constantly comparing ourselves with others. But I ask us not to give in to that majority report. Don't give in to that negative report. Think of yourself as God thinks of you. Don't depreciate your value. The next one is fear. That was part of their report. Don't you know what fear does? Fear will paralyze one, keep him from acting. And I know that's the truth. Sometimes fear does enter in. You look at the vastness, you look at the opportunities that are there, and you realize, and you say to yourself, I'm afraid. But fear, ladies and gentlemen, is not a part of what God has called us to. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is the most devastating emotion on earth. Eleanor Roosevelt said, I fought it and I conquered it. I believe everyone can conquer fear by doing the things he fears to do. I believe everyone, listen to her again. She said, I believe everyone can conquer fear by doing the things he fears to do, provided he keeps doing them until he gets a record of successful experience behind him. What is she saying? Don't give in to that negative report. She said, whatever it is that you fear, even in spite of the fear, go ahead and do it. And after a while, you'll gain success because your God is the God that is with you. Another part of that majority report was a critical spirit. When people become negative and inactive, they turn to criticizing others who want to move forward. You know, it's always easy to criticize, and that's what they did. They criticized Moses. They criticized Aaron. They wanted to know, why did you bring us out of Egypt? We could have died in Egypt. We could have died in the wilderness. Why do we want to go over there into Canaan and die by the sword of the Canaanites? They wanted to get them a leader to carry them back to Egypt because they were critical of the leadership that they had. Ingratitude is another. This implies also that they were not thankful for all that God had done for them. Don't ever get to the point that you are not grateful for what God has done. Sometimes you look at what is before you and you forget about being thankful for what God has done. If you have a spirit of ingratitude, you'll never be able to go over and possess the things that God has for us. And then unbelief is summed up in unbelief. Listen to me. Don't ever get in the point where you don't believe God. If I had time, and I know I don't have time, but I want you to put in your notes Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18, well, verses 16 through 19. And I want you to read that passage of scripture because the Hebrew writer also gives his critique of the children of Israel at this time. And he summed it up this way. He said, they did not enter in because of unbelief. Don't you know all of what is happening to these individuals when they are right there on the prefaces? They're right there on the brink of going into the promised land. It simply boils down to unbelief. Negativism is an elephant on the road to progress. A millstone around the neck of usefulness. A cancer of the mind of its advocate. It's an ice pack on the fervor of the faithful. It sees thorns on the rose bush, never the roses on the thorn bush. Its parent is little faith. Its child is discouragement. Its grandchild is cantankerousness. And its first cousin is stubbornness. All I'm saying to us is that negative report, that majority report, is a dangerous report. Don't ever listen to the naysayers. Don't ever listen to those who can't see and don't have vision that God is able. Bible says in Matthew 7, verse number 13, in the end at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. If I got to make a choice, God, let me be in the few and not in the majority. I just believe that this other spirit, and I'm closing, is, but it may take me 10 minutes, 15. I don't want you to think in 5 minutes. But listen to me. Caleb and Joshua represent the minority report. This is the positive report. Now I want you to see the contrast between these two. Because the Bible says that Caleb, these two men had a different spirit. They had a different spirit. They had a different disposition. They had a different focus on life, a different attitude toward God, a different attitude toward the work. What were some of these attributes of them? Number one, faith. They said, we're well able to overcome. They believed in themselves. Listen to this. They believed in themselves. They believed in their fellow Israelites. And they believed in God. Say it again, preacher. They believed in themselves. They believed in their fellow Israelites. And they believed in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. If you see it, it ain't faith. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It ain't ever been about the Israelite, it's about God. Whenever we get to the point that we're looking at ourselves, and it's about ourselves and not about God, we've missed it. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit because they understood that they were representing God. Faith. Same thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. When the king told them, bow down when you hear the music. But here's what they said. They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning bush. Faith is not looking at self, but it's looking at your God. Philippians 4 and verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect to want. For I've learned, this is Paul speaking, I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But he summed it up by saying, I can do all things. Not some. All things through Christ who strengtheneth me. When you have the minority report, you have faith in God, that God is able. Confidence concerning the Canaanites, Joshua said. Listen to what he said in chapter 14, verse number 9 of Numbers. He said, the people are bred for us. Oh, they may be giants, but they're bred for us. No, we're going to eat them for breakfast. We're going to eat them for lunch. And we're going to eat them for supper. And then we're going to get us a midnight snack on them. You know why? Because they're bread for us. When you look through the eyes of God and you know what God is able to do, then you can see your enemy right. Well, confidence, not in self. Confidence in God. Let me show you how. When you look through the eyes of God, this is how you look at your enemies. Isaiah 40, 21 through 23. Put that on the screen right quickly. Isaiah 40, verse number 21. I want you to watch this because I just believe if you could ever get a view from God's perspective. Now, this is what Isaiah said. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? There's something that you ought to just know from what your own relationship with God, how God has dealt with things from the very beginning. Have you not heard? Don't you know? I know. You know. When you know your God, are you with me? Are you with me? From the foundations of the earth. Watch verse number 22. It is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as what? Now, from God's perspective, all the nations of the earth are as what? That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth out as a tent to dwell in. Watch verse number 23. That bringeth the princes, the kings of the earth, to nothing. Show me a king. Show me a despot that can stand up against God. God has defeated them all. He drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. He He maketh the judges of the earth as nothing. Who can stand against God's people? What is there out there that God has that we cannot overcome? The problem is where, how we see ourselves. But it's more about how you see your God. I hear people say, well, you know, this church has grown as far as it's going to grow, and it's going to begin to decline. I hear that, but I don't believe that. Because if I look through the eyes of men, yes, but if I look through the eyes of God, with God, all things are possible. Just depends on your outlook. Are you going to listen to the majority report, or are you going to listen to the minority report? God's not through with this church yet. God has brought this church a mighty long way. And I refuse to believe that this is it. I refuse to believe that we have gone as far as we can go. I don't believe it. Now, I know I'm old and I'm on my way out. But I know God don't just use one. He uses us all. And there are some sitting right here that God's going to raise up. God's going to use. And this church will take greater heights. Not because of us, but because of God. We're going to elevate our walk and our talk. We're going to make the grade. Courage. Courage. That's the minority report. Confidence, courage, and then action. I'm through. Action. Let us go up at once, not next year, not next month. Caleb said, let's go up at once and possess it. Positive people say, let's go. Let's do it now. The minority report is one of thankfulness. They understood that the land of Canaan was a gift. It was a blessing due to his delight in them. True appreciation for one's blessings would lead to action and obedience. In conclusion, when we come to our Kadesh and find ourselves at the threshold of receiving God's promises, let us not listen to the evil report, to the majority report. Let us turn our ears to the minority report of a different spirit. Yes, the spirit of Caleb and Joshua, believing we are well able, let us go up at once and possess it because of his promises and his provisions. Yes, when God told Abraham, at the age of 100, and his wife was 90, that she was going to have a son. Sarah laughed. But I heard God say, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah needed to hear those same words when the children of Israel were taken into captivity. There came a word in Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And then he asked the same question. Is there anything too hard for me? Rich young ruler came to Jesus, said, what good thing can I do in order to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, go sell all that you have and distribute it unto the poor. Come follow me. And the Bible said he turned and went away sorrowfully. When he did that, God, Christ made this statement. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples, when they heard it, said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. When Peter, and I know he had to go back and remember what God told Abraham, Sarah. I know he had to remember the words that Jeremiah was told. And this is what Peter said after he heard those words. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who should not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. It all depends on how you face your Kadesh. Are you going to listen to the majority report, or are you going to listen to the minority report? There's a promise. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. There is no person too hard for the Lord to save. That's my lesson. The Kadesh, the crisis at Kadesh. How will you respond? May God bless us to all be like Joshua and Caleb. Will you come to Christ? Will you give your life for him? Because he's able. He's able to save us to the uttermost. Oh, he can take you from the gutter and save you to the uttermost. That's because he's God. I'm asking you to come. Give your life to him. Become a part of his church, his kingdom. Give your life totally to him. And see, won't he take you into areas that you never thought you would go? That's because God is good. Will you come? Will you come? You come by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, Father of missions. I pray that you'll come. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Song number 853.